Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Here's a brief but annoying message to let you know that you could have first heard this episode 9 months ago if you were a subscriber to our Iron Filing Society Patreon offering.
For the price of a pint and a St. Clement's each month, you can get up to 4 episodes a week, 9 months before the rest of the world gets them. Early access to regular episodes, lots of other marvellous benefits, and there's absolutely no adverts or brief but annoying messages like this that'll get right on your tics.
Find out more and subscribe now at tftimemachine.com/ironfilings.
Here we go, this is it!
This is Top Flight Chung Machine, I am Andy Hotbody Dawson, pow pow pow!
I'm Sam Nifty Delaney, so what?
Welcome along to the third instalment of this chart that we're looking at. It's a vintage, classic chart. Well, it is if you're us anyway. If you're 19, it probably means nothing to you.
But I would say that even if you're, you know, young, maybe even 19. I mean, look, put it this way. My daughter and my son, obviously they live with me and they have to endure me playing 80s music quite a lot. But, you know, there's songs on here that I think most people who have any interest in pop music know. And that's one of the reasons it's a great chart. Because things like, I mean, You Look Down, Relax, Jump by Van Halen, It's Raining Men, for sure.
The music of Tovel and Dean.
Every fucker knows It's Raining Men. Do you know what I mean? Everyone.
Yeah.
Your Love Is King by Sade. These are like fucking pop standards now.
Let the music play by Shannon. Lots of this, you know. Yeah.
And I'm like, it's just great. Some of it's great. Like, Let the Music Play by Shannon, Your Love Is King by Sade. These are, you know, Relax. These are like fucking all-time classics. But some of them are just like, even if they might not be to our taste, I mean, there's just fucking hilarious songs in it. Like Radio Gaga by Queen. Obviously, let's not go down a Queen hatred rabbit hole, but, you know, that is a fucking really famous, iconic song.
I'll hold my hand up and I'll say, of all the Queen songs, and there are many.
Is that your favourite?
Very many that I don't like. I like Radio Gaga.
Do you count Under Pressure as a Queen song or a Bowie song? And do you like it?
I count it as a Queen song, and you can count it as a boy song as well. They collaborated on it. I don't really like it very much, though.
I don't know who wrote it. Did they write it together or what?
I think they got together. I think they did it in Switzerland.
Yeah, of course.
It feels a bit Swiss.
That's where you have to do collaborations, in Switzerland, because it's neutral.
I guess so.
It's the only way. When you're both massive stars, if you go, you get into that thing that, you know, in I think there's a whole series of Larry David where there's an argument between him and Jason Alexander. About whose office they should meet in, because it's like a power thing. But if you're Queen and David Bowie, you just say, look, let's just keep it simple and do this in Switzerland.
Yeah, there's a studio in Zurich we can go to.
Yeah.
Neutral territory. Yeah. Because, I mean, Switzerland was where a boy was living there, I think, at least part of the time. And that was where he met Nile Rodgers before Nile Rodgers.
Yeah, and you can hear it on YouTube with them doing Let's Dance in a studio in Switzerland, can't you?
I think they met in a bar and, like, boy said, Nile, I want you to produce me. And Nile said, what kind of music do you want to make? And he said, I want to make some hits. But that was because... That's because he was skinned, because he'd just come out of a shitty management deal that he'd had.
He's like, enough of all this fucking bollocks I've been doing out in Berlin. Yeah. This shit with fucking Eno. The bloke's a nutter. I want to do something fucking that people can dance to and that the kiddies are going to buy.
The bank.
Yeah.
I'm fucking skint, mate.
It's Bowie's best album, Let's Dance. I know Bowie fans probably don't agree, but I would say as a not full-time Bowie fan, just someone who likes David Bowie, I'd say that's the best one.
I mean, certainly the singles that came off it, Let's Dance and China Girl.
Modern Love's my favourite Bowie song. Brilliant. Because it's a Noel Rogers track. It's fucking
pop
great.
Pop songs, aren't they? Pop songs. It's like I always say Bruce Springsteen's best song's Dancing in the Dark, because it's a pop song.
Fucking 100%. That's his
biggest hit.
Absolutely right.
But I don't know if the Springsteen aficionados would agree with that.
My uncle, Simon, who I took along to that Beatles thing, you know, that Chris Shaw did, and Simon must be in his early 60s now, massive Beatles fan. And he told me, him and his mates, it was his mate's birthday. This is a little glimpse into, you know, still having good lad mates when you're in your 60s. His mates had come round and we're all going to, in advance, you all need to submit what your top 10 Beatles songs are, right?
Right.
And to me, don't tell any of the others. And then in advance of the party, I'm going to compile, I'm going to take it using the, what do they say in European football? That sort of system they use to rate clubs. The coefficient. Yeah, he used a coefficient, right? Right. Really elaborate, this like geezer, this. Right?
I like this.
Really, really elaborate. This is his mate. He's a good bloke. It makes it sound really, like, weird. I mean, I don't really know. I know him quite well.
No, it's and good. Proper nerd activity.
All his other mates are massive. They're all huge Beatles fans, right? It's not why they're mates. It just happens to be they're all huge Beatles fans. And he did a coefficient, right? And on the night, he did a countdown through like the top 50 songs as voted for by this group of pals, right? And I think before that he did mini like charts within the chart, like top three, like which of the four Beatles, you know, had the most in the overall chart and so on and so forth. But he was just saying that this particular mate of his is just like his attitude towards all pop culture, including TV as well as music, movies, whatever, is what, by definition, whatever the most popular thing is the best, and you can't argue with that, right? Okay, and I find that quite a sweet attitude. And he's like when it's they talk about what their favorite TV shows are, right? You go, like, you'll be sitting around, people go, well, you know, I just think The Wire, the scale of it, blah blah blah, or someone else say Breaking Bad or whatever. And he's just there, and he goes, and he's an intelligent guy. He's not unsophisticated, but he just goes, I think EastEnders is my favourite ever TV show. And they're like, oh, my God, EastEnders, but what about The Sopranos, right? And he goes, of course, yeah, but have you any idea how long the EastEnders has been going for and how many millions of people watch it? Of course it's the best TV show. And they go, well, that's just because lots of people, that's just popular. She goes, yeah, but that means it's the best. So when they did this Beatles vote, I actually don't know what he voted for, but I think it would have been probably like Hey Jude, right? Which maybe is like, is that the most, no, it's probably actually the most famous Beatles song's probably like She Loves You or I Want to Hold Your Hand.
I don't know,
I was
going to say he'd have gone to whatever the most popular thing was on Spotify, he'd have gone and voted for them, the most listened to on Spotify.
We had an interesting conversation about that recently, didn't we?
Mm-hmm.
Because the two most listened to are both George Harrison songs.
Yeah. Something's number one, isn't it? I was like, Here Comes the Sun.
And then Here Comes the Sun's number one and Something's number two. So, yeah, George got the last laugh there.
The thing someone was saying, I think it might have been David Hepworth, who, of course, is a pop culture guru,
aficionado,
having been on Smash Hits and Q Magazine and everything. He was saying something like, the Beatles haven't travelled as well as some other acts have, even though there was a big Beatles boom, like, say, 30 years ago when Britpop came around. The Beatles aren't regarded by the mass populace as being the high watermark in the way that they might have been a while ago. People are massively into things like Queen, more so than they're into the Beatles. I'm trying to think of another example, maybe not from the set, not Boy, because Boy was never as big as T-Rex or Slade were. Boy was never... He was always the kind of the weirdo on the fringes
a bit.
Yeah, massive hits, but he was never the number one star, which some people would maybe think. Bay City Rollers are bigger than Boy was.
I remember being in New York one New Year, like around Christmas New Year, and we were watching like VH1. It was like the late 90s, like 97 or something, and we were watching VH1 when having that was still a bit of a novelty, and they were doing countdown of the greatest rock bands of all time. But it was a big deal, like now VH1, even if it's still going away. But this was a big thing. There was posters up everywhere, you know, saying this is the big VH1 ultimate countdown of the greatest rock acts of all time. And it was done over a number of days, and we got really invested in this, right? Me and my girlfriend. And on the night of like the final top 10 countdown, we were like, obviously it'll be the Beatles. I wonder who'll be 2, 3, and 4, right? And they go down the list. And I remember the Beatles came in at number 4. And to a British person, it is just beyond your comprehension. Because we just think, what? But that you're not allowed to have another number 1. You're just not allowed, right? Is it? It's not possible. And I'm pretty sure, but I'm not certain, that the other ones, I can't remember the exact order. I remember who was at number 1. And it will, I think it will astound you. It astounded me. But, like, I'm pretty sure the Police were above the Beatles, right?
Right, okay.
In America, it's like, hey, man, the Police. I mean, the Beatles were fine, but come on, the Police.
Police were different, next level.
Aerosmith, right?
Yeah.
Again, in America, it's like Aerosmith are almost, like, regarded as their Beatles, right? And then I remember this. Number 1 was The Who. The Who... Mm-hmm. Were the number 1, were I don't know whether it was a public vote or whether it was people at VH1, but they were regarded in this big, quite significant, like, countdown as the greatest rock band of all time. Now, I've got no hate for The Who, but they're another act where I'm sort of like, oh, yeah, The Who, okay.
So, they're all good singles, but that's it.
Yeah, yeah.
For me.
But the thing about The Who is I've just always found them a little bit silly.
Yeah.
I mean, it doesn't matter to be silly. You know, you can be a silly rock band. But I don't know, all that, the way that Pete Townsend does that sort of jumping around with his guitar. And look, Roger Daltrey is a fucking, like, a strange little bloke, isn't he?
He's a ludicrous character, isn't he?
And now he's sort of, like, revealed himself in more recent years to be quite problematic in various ways. Although I do like him as an actor in McVicar. I think he's really good in that.
And he was good in Buddy, the TV series and the BBC Two.
I tell you what, I haven't seen, but I would like. I've been thinking about a huge amount since Glastonbury, and thinking I would love to watch it and then potentially deep dive it. Is Tommy, right?
Yeah.
Ever since Elton opened with Tommy at Glastonbury, I've been obsessing over the notion of a film about a deaf, dumb, and blind boy who's amazing. At
what,
pinball.
Doing one yourself?
I just sort of thought, it's fucking incredible. What a mad idea. And then I Googled it, and I just saw a clip of Roger Daltrey acting as the eponymous Tommy. And it's like really funny. There's a gif of it, and it's just him playing a pinball machine, but with his eyes half shut, smiling, sort of doing a bit of a sort of a Stevie Wonder impression.
It's
fucking mad.
It's on YouTube, Sam. Before this episode began, we were deciding what to do for the next Odyssey, and we couldn't think of anything. All I'm saying is Tommy in full on YouTube.
Yeah.
Could be that, couldn't it?
And it's got lots of cameos, like Tina Turner's in it, apparently.
Paul Nicholas is in it from Yesterday's Hero, so there's a thread. There's a TFT thread there.
You know, on Audible... don't know if you use Audible much, but they I don't know how they make any money out of Audible, because you get like free tokens every month. I had loads of free tokens, so I spent them. I don't really love audiobooks, but they're huge. My book is sold as many audiobooks as it has hardbacks so far, right? And so they seem to be a big boom sector. Anyway, I looked on to see what I'd been buying. So I often get these tokens, buy a book, and then always forget to listen to it. So I looked in my library the other day because I saw I had a few tokens, and I realised that I don't remember doing this at all, but I have actually downloaded Paul Nicholas's book,
which
is another thing that demands our attention at some point or another.
You'd have to assume it's read by him as well, I guess.
Oh, definitely, yeah. Yeah, because he was interviewed in a newspaper. That's how I knew about it not that long ago. It might have even been The Guardian or someone maybe The Telegraph did an interview with him. And And I thought, oh, well, what's all this about, right? And it was because he had a book out. The book is called, you're going to like this, Musicals, Marigolds and Me by Paul Nicholas.
Marigolds, what?
Yeah, I don't know. That's really interesting. Is it? Yeah, exactly. It's a great fucking title. I mean, it's great because you think musicals, yeah, great.
Mm-hmm.
Me, yeah, Paul Nicholas is me, great. Mm. Marigolds, mmm. Now I think there's going to be a few surprises in this story. I must read it. So I've got it on audiobook, and I think that if you've got any spare tokens, maybe we should specifically review the audiobook because some of his deliveries will be very special. Yeah, it could be good holiday listening.
Yeah. But like getting back to The Who, last weekend on BBC Two, Saturday, was Kinks Night.
Oh, yeah.
And it just reminded me that the Kinks are streets ahead of groups like The Who and even like the Small Faces that get so much kudos from the mid to late 60s. Kinks are incredible.
Yeah, I know all the Kinks hits, but I don't have album knowledge of the Kinks, but I do know a couple of people whose music tastes I hugely respect who actually rate the Kinks over the Beatles.
Which it's an is argument.
A little bit far-fetched. You remember our good friend and former colleague, Josh, right?
Yes.
Who is a man whose opinions on most things I respect. He's a man of quiet, quiet convictions that I very often find very convincing, right? And he just quietly said to me once, I said, you know, like the Beatles, best
just
band.
Just thought I'd let you know, Sam, that weren't otherwise.
Yeah.
It's the Kinks, actually.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's what it was like. It was just, he took me aside just quietly, said, Sam, just so you know, the Kinks are actually better than the Beatles. It's not a big deal, but I just want you to know. And I said, really, why? And he goes, oh, it's very close. He said, but they've got the edge on lyrics. So I was like, okay, fair enough. I'll give it some thought. I'll do some digging.
Very, very strong argument. There's a great documentary on last Saturday night. It's on iPlayer, and it's not a recent one. It's from the mid-90s when they were kind of... You know, middle-aged. Ray Davies is a genius, but he's also a very weird man.
Yeah.
And his brother, Dave Davies,
who
they've just fought like cat and dog for decades within that group, because Dave started the group and then Ray kind of elbowed
it's
in
a great episode of Rock
and
Tours. It's a great episode of Rock and Tours. It's the Dave Davies episode.
Oh, right. I haven't heard that one yet.
Yeah, it's
good. Dave is
he's insane.
An individual, let's say.
Yeah.
But yeah, there's a bit in that where he says something like, we're brothers, and you know, I love him as a brother, but also I can't stand him.
Yeah, it's kind of most brothers, I would say.
Yeah, but having to work together in a group for 50 years when you started the group and you don't get any of the kudos for it.
Yeah, well, you see it again and again. I mean, it was the same with the Gallaghers, wasn't it, really? But anyway,
I've had a really nice time this year. I've had a really nice time this year going to see gigs by Blur, by Pulp, and by Suede.
Yeah.
And at no point did I ever think, oh, it'd be good to see Oasis again. You know?
Well, I went to see Liam Gallagher at Alexander Palace, and that's pretty much as good as seeing Oasis anyway, if you wanted to, because he does half the set is Oasis songs. And really, with all due respect to Noel, like, you know, when you go and see Oasis, it's really, if you like going to see Oasis, I think most people would agree that you go and see, it's really going to see Liam Gallagher sing those songs. Do you know what I mean? So
I think Noel would be quite happy just sitting on his publishing money and doing his own thing.
Without
any hassle, you know.
Yeah,
it's a good gig that he's got.
Yeah,
he sells out big places,
and he's minted.
Know, he hasn't got to deal with Liam.
Yeah, he's minted, and he can just sit. And he's he did get divorced recently, apparently. So I don't know how that's going, but But he's minted, he's happy, and Liam can still go out. And he said in an interview, he said Liam sells much bigger venues than I do. So he's got no problems. He doesn't necessarily need Oasis to get back together for the money, because, and all the kids who go, if you want to go and watch, you want to watch someone sing Wonderwall, you know, you just got, the band doesn't matter as much as Liam Gallagher standing there behind the mic singing Wonderwall, you know. And to be fair, for someone who's sort of lived the life he's lived, he still kind of looks, I think, pretty young. Do you know what I mean? He doesn't. Mm. He still looks like Liam Gallagher.
His voice has gone though.
Has it? I don't know. When I saw him, it sounded pretty good. But I suppose the way he sings is quite.
Yeah, I've only seen like festival quite footage. Throaty. It just sounds Jesus Christ. Yeah.
Yeah, he did have a great voice back in those days. He did have a great voice. Anyway, this is not a 90s chart.
Jalapeño.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Jalapeño.
There's some good songs that there's to discuss in 1984. I love Jump by Van Halen. I think that is a fucking great song. It was Aztec Camera did a cover of that, didn't they?
They
is
did,
that right?
Yeah, like an acoustic. They did two versions. There's like a live acoustic version, and there's a kind of a mellow studio version, which I prefer.
The thing about it is that obviously, you know, I think that's quite a lot of kudos for you know, a band like Aztec Camera to acknowledge that it was a brilliant composition. But you cannot beat the Van Halen version. Bam, 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 bam. You know, if I'm making a film, that's what I want the opening sounds of a film to be when the credits roll.
I've got a controversial Van Halen opinion, if you'd like one.
You hate them.
Van Halen's best song is actually Why Can't This Be Love, which they did after David Lee Roth.
David Lee Roth left the group, didn't
and Sammy Hagar joined them. It's got what it takes, so tell me why can't this be
that
love?
That is a great song. That's a great song. Jump. Fucking Van Halen are really good. I mean, back then in the 80s, you thought...
Whoa. We've just identified two great songs
as
by
well.
Van Halen.
Once you get to three songs that a band have done that are all good, and I'm sure there's a third that I'm forgetting, Van Halen hits... There's
a big drop off on Spotify after those two.
Jump. Okay, yeah. Ain't Talking About Love, Panama, When It's Love, Running With The Devil. Good titles. Eruption, Hop For Teacher.
Hop For Teacher.
Love Walks In, Dreams. God. Okay, all right. I thought, Jump is their biggest hit. All right, well, they're both good songs. Bam, 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 bam. And didn't Dave Lee Roth do... Love in an Elevator?
That was Aerosmith.
Oh, fuck it. What did he do? What's his big hit?
Did he have one?
I think he did, yeah.
Because he did like wacky videos after he went solo, didn't he?
His book, I heard Lauren Laverne once on Six Music just casually say, of course, Dave Lee... She said something along the lines of course, Dave Lee Roth's autobiography is the greatest rock autobiography.
Okay.
And I thought, she's one of those people who I see as a cultural beacon. I respect her opinions implicitly. And so I was straight on Amazon. It wasn't available new. I got a second hand. I've still got it. It's called Crazy From The Heat, I believe.
And it's his first album as well. I'm looking at his discography now. Yeah.
So he's got a book, and it's on my shelf. I haven't read it yet. Maybe that's another one I do on holiday, and I investigate whether or not it's diveable. But if Lauren says it's the best ever or one of the best ever, then you have to believe that, don't you?
His solo career, he started doing wacky videos and cover versions. He did California Girls.
Oh, yeah.
And
then
he did a version of Just a Gigolo. and none of these really bothered the charts too much in the UK.
None of them resonate. Okay. Well, anyway.
Just Like Paradise. I remember that one. That's a good one. Is that this must be just like living in paradise?
That sounds right.
I think
yeah.
that's that one. That's pretty good. But when I was this age, I hated all of this American.
Yeah, big hair rock seemed corny.
Fucking MTV rock.
It just seemed really corny, didn't it? And then I got old because they just seemed. There was such a divide as well between Britain and American culture then still, which in some ways made America seem more exciting. But in some ways, especially when it came to pop music, they seemed so corny on the whole, rock bands did. And then
a lot of it,
I think in the 90s, when I got a bit older, I kind of would hear them because they'd be like VH1, classic rock, or like Capital Radio in London used to play that stuff. But like, you know, when it was already 10 years old, and sometimes you'd be like, oh yeah, actually some of these songs are pretty good, which is probably when I would have said at the time, I'd jump. If I had that on my hits tape, I would have forwarded through it. But then when I got a bit older, I was like, fucking hell, jump, what a song.
I think a lot of it came to us courtesy of Jonathan King and Entertainment USA, his TV show as well.
Yeah.
Which, you know, it was impossible to like Jonathan King.
Yeah,
He was arrested and jailed for whatever it was that he did in the 60s and 70s.
Yeah.
All of that poodle head MTV
but
rock.
I did like that show, though, like Entertainment USA. And then MTV. But, yeah, it was on the radio a lot. And they were always in the charts. It obviously did have a big following in the UK. Yeah. But, it wasn't
but
for
was
me in particular.
I was a massive snob even then. So the kids at school who were into stuff like that, I just disregarded them as humans.
I didn't know any kids like that. We never. I don't know if it was a London thing. There was never anyone into metal or rock. And I used to always think, where do these people come from? Like, you had people in. I'm not saying everyone had good taste. They certainly fucking didn't. But that was one sort of tribe that I was never really aware of in the 80s. I knew it existed, and I saw the bands come on Top of the Pops, but I'd never met anyone who fessed up to liking it.
Well, when I was a kid, when I was at school, right up to fifth year, and when we left Duff GCSEs, there was only three boys in the year who liked music.
Oh, really?
And
wow.
Nobody else was bothered. Some of them, a little bit, but like properly into music
to an obsessive
level. There was only three of us, and we hung around together.
You must have been really... That must have forged extremely tight bonds at the time. Because if there's only three of you and you're very passionate about the same thing.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, Dave, we used to hang around and go to each other's houses and listen to records and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Like nerds. But I used to do GCSE art.
Oh, yeah.
And there was only two lads who did GCSE art and the rest of them were girls in the group. And I really loved it because hanging around with girls is brilliant.
Yeah.
And because loads of them were into pop music, so I got to talk about pop music with them.
That was the same with us. Like, I always say I got into Prince because of, like, girls in our school.
Yeah.
All the cool girls that I wanted to hang around with and be friends with were obsessed with Prince. And, you know, I liked music. I was into music and I would buy records a lot. But Prince probably, I was kind of like, I liked Prince. I think, you know, I own Purple Rain, let's say, and maybe a couple of singles. But when I was at school in about, I think it was 1988, and Love Sexy came out, that was a massive album in our school. It was huge, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it's not like, it's not even his, in his two most famous sort of 80s albums probably, but it was such a big thing when we were all about 13 or 14. But it was mainly driven by girls who are obsessed with him. You know, and all the girls we hung around with, they all drew like all the Prince iconography on their rucksacks and textbooks, and on sort of like the eye and the paisley and the heart and the CND sign and all of that. And in the end, you're just like, I have to go out and buy Love Sexy, and then I need to listen to it loads, and I need to form a number of opinions on it, all of which must be positive. Right. And it was like, I remember doing it. I remember going out and it wouldn't have crossed my mind. And I got it and I listened the fuck out of that album in order to ingratiate myself with girls. So it was contrived. And then I went on to love him sincerely to this day. But my initial introduction was not because I had such a great ear for good music. It was like, there might be some, I might get some fingering opportunities out of this.
Fingering potential.
Yeah. Yeah. And there was a few bands like that, but it was mainly Prince. It was like, that was the dominant album at our school for a year.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's funny the way you find your way. Because before that, probably having older brothers who were all very into music and played it non-stop in the house, all of my music tastes were really fed to me like that. And there was a bullying element to it as well. Right. In a funny way.
Lighting stuff.
Genuinely, yeah. Certainly by not all three of them. But, like, my brother Dom had very, like, militant positions on band. A bit like you, right? He's very, like, this is good, this is bad, don't listen to that, right? You and him could fucking have a great night out just hating on Queen. Because I heard your levels of hatred of Queen, I was already very familiar with, right? Because he was like, visceral about it when we were kids,
good,
right?
Good.
And they were and he was like very like, and he had good taste in music, right? So he had the bedroom next door to mine. Me and Cash shared a room, and Dom had a room to himself. So he was older, and all he did was play music on an Amstrad music system, very very loudly, and get complaints from the neighbours and from my mum nonstop. So he would have definitely been the person who got me into Madness, the Specials, the Jam, massively the Style Council, and then like House Martins. Probably Smith's, and New Order was one of his. And so he played very, but he was very like prescriptive. It's like, these are the bands that are good, right?
Yeah.
And my brother Cass only listened to 80s soul, right? He just listened to.
Because he's part of the Chiswick Soul Patrol, obviously.
You had to, if not, you got thrown out of the Soul Patrol. Yeah. If they caught you listening to the Smiths, that was it. You were a dead man. They may have killed you. They might have suffocated you with your own Ticini tracksuit top, right?
Yeah.
And so he only listened to 80s soul. And my brother Theo didn't live with us, but he had a much more eclectic taste. So obviously, as I've said before, he loved Elvis Costello above all else. But to this day, you know, he's got a very eclectic taste where he likes, he's curious about all music. And he used to make me mixtapes, which was really nice of him. Like, he didn't live with us, so it was a real treat if he came round, because he was basically the brother who was nice to me. The two I lived to were just like really mean, but he was nice. He'd come round like the older brother and go, look, I've made you a tape, listen to this, and he'd write little notes for me so I understood who each band were, where they were from.
That's brilliant.
And that was a really good education. But with Cass or Dom, it was like, Cass, if it wasn't soul music, he'd probably do something bad. It'd make you feel very small for listening to, like, not soul music. And Dom, if he caught you listening to something that wasn't within his sort of, you know, approved bands, he may become violent towards you. You may get a physical punishment for listening to the wrong music. So it was difficult. Whereas at least with Theo, it was like I widened my taste a little bit. And he loved soul music. He loved all the stuff Dom listened to. And then he had other weird tastes as well, like country and shit like that, or old rock and roll songs. So, and that, you know, I would still recommend to anyone his radio show, Johnny Friendly Radio Show, because I still listen to it now because he's always like finding new stuff that I don't sort of spend the time or energy into finding. But yeah, when you're the youngest sibling of free music fanatics, and in those days as well, the 80s, where everything was very tribal, you do, you know, you have your tastes forced upon you a little bit, and and that only changed once I was at school, because I'd come back from school being into stuff that I would then have to hide once I was at secondary school, because Cass and Dom weren't into Prince, right? So when I start listening to Prince, I've had to keep that on a down low in the house, because if they come in and they're like, what the fuck is this you're listening to? And it would just be boring apart from everything else. You just have to sit through like loads of fucking shit thrown at you for like an hour just because they'd caught you listening to Love Sexy. But the one of the funniest ones ever, I went out and I had some money when I was about 12, 13, and I went up probably to our price, and I had enough for two singles. And I decided, I can't remember why, I think I'd seen them on telly, both these bands. I got Mary's Prayer by, remind me who that was by.
Danny Wilson, great song.
Danny Wilson. And Rise to the Occasion by Climie Fisher.
Fisher, yeah.
And neither of these bands were either prescribed from my brothers or picked up from peers at school. It was a rare occasion of I'd heard both these songs or seen them on telly, and I thought, I like both those songs. And you know what?
Yeah.
I can be my own man. I'm going to go up the shops and buy them both on single. And I think my brother was working at a post office at the time. And he'd always come in from a night shift in a fucking terrible mood, right? Yeah. In his waterproofs. You'd hear his motorbike pull up outside. And I was sitting in my bedroom listening to Mary's Prayer. And literally... I must have had it on so loud that I didn't hear his motorbike come back, which would have definitely been my cue to quickly take the needle off the record and hide it, right?
Oh,
and literally, he's more or less, he's in his orange fucking Royal Mail waterproofs, and he's gone, bang, and kicked the door open. And I'm like, ah! And I'm like fucking diving for the record player, because it's like, when I was Mary's Prayer, then,
threw a brick at it.
Yeah, I was fucking bricking it. He's come in, he's gone, what the fucking hell is this shit? Right? And I'm, it's called Mary's Prayer, it's quite good. No, it is not. Ah, you fucking little idiot, what you got this up for? And then he's made me go, what else did you get? I go, nothing. And he's picked up, he's gone, Climie fucking Fisher.
You got Climie Fisher.
Never heard of them. Never heard of them. They sound shit. Why did you get it? I like it. Put it on. No. Put it on.
One of them's wearing a vest on the cover. Oh, yeah, no, what's it going to sound like already?
So I put it on. And you got to, right? And he's like literally pinching the bridge of his nose, like, oh, I've got a fucking blinder coming on here. I have got a fucking blinder coming on. It was fucking messy. So, you know, that was the, those were the, that was the sort of situation I was living in. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And those were much more sort of pure chart pop, I suppose, in a way. And maybe that's why he disapproved. I don't know. I might ask him later today. He's much more relaxed these days and calm. I might just say, listen,
that's
mate,
good.
Do you remember these songs? What have you got to say about them now?
Yeah,
he won't remember
yeah,
the
like
incident at all.
Yeah. It reminds me a bit of something my daughter keeps reminding me of when she was about 12. She expressed an interest in a song by Belle and Sebastian.
Oh, yeah.
And I just went, that's music for bedwetters, that. She still remembers it. And that wasn't fair. That was just a small scale version of what you endured.
Yeah, I just, whatever my kids are into, I just try and go with it. And they give me absolute dog's abuse over some of the stuff I listen to. But my daughter now, I'm getting to the stage where I'm starting to think her music taste has got better than mine. She's not hostile to a lot of old stuff. But she's constantly introducing me to new stuff. And I've got to tell you, fucking hell, I went to that Lana Del Rey gig with her. And as I told you, I like, you know, it kind of won. Lana Del Rey very much won me over that night because she was such an amazing superstar on stage. And so did Father John Misty, who supported her. And on the way home in the car, I said to my daughter, I really liked her and I really liked Father John Misty. And she went, well, they'd done a collab and I was hoping they'd do it tonight. But...
Right.
They didn't, and it's probably my favourite. And I said, stick it on, right? And it's called Let the Light In, and it's like, do you ever get a song and you just listen to it like every fucking day, three times? And while I was doing some decorating last week, and I had it on non-stop, and it went from a phase where my daughter at first was flattered because I'd got into a song that she had introduced me to. Then she was annoyed because she was like, you're listening to it a bit too much and now you're trying to make out that you're a bigger Lana fan than me. And then it got to a stage where she was slightly concerned because she thought it had gone into an insanity level, which it had. I've got an addictive personality. So I think the way my mind seems to work is if I have something that I enjoy, I then just want to keep having
it
until I stop enjoying it anymore. And there was literally, she came into the room and I was just lying on the bed with my headphones in. And she just walked in and she went, what are you listening to, Sam?
Tell me.
And I went, oh, nothing. And she went, tell me what you're listening to. And I said, it's not what you think I'm listening to. And she went, oh, really? And she fucking snatched my phone. And, of course, it was Let the Light In. It's a lovely song. Give it a listen, see what you think.
But, yeah, like my daughter can't figure out how I'm into self-esteem.
Oh, yeah.
It's like her generation. She's like, I don't understand. I don't understand
confused.
How you came to it, where you got to it from. I'm like, yeah. Fucking hell, I've got all sorts of influences. I read stuff and I listen to...
Not know, that you're a Six Music fan in particular like I am, but you know Self Esteem was selling hats at her gigs that said Six Music Dad on them.
Six Music Dad, yeah.
Because she's aware. There is actually, yeah. Well, unbeknownst to your daughter, a huge part of Self Esteem's audience are middle-aged centrist dads like us.
Exactly. Yeah, just point to that. Hey, let's just wrap this up because we've got nowhere near... assessing this chart fully. Well,
it doesn't matter, this chart will run and run, won't it?
We're having a good time. We're having a good time, Sam. That's the main thing.
Music, pop chat with Sam and Andy.
Yeah. All right, thanks for listening, everybody. Back again with more next time. Goodbye!
Goodbye.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. Hello Fresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. Hello Fresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.